We'll switch them, actually. Good evening, everyone. Let's start tonight with number 81. Let's stand for this first one. Number 81, what a wonderful Savior. Then we'll take some requests. If you're just coming in, it's 81.
Christ has for sin atonement made. What a wonderful Savior. We are redeemed, the price is paid. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. I praise Him for the cleansing blood. What a wonderful Savior that reconciled my soul to God. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He cleansed my heart from all its sins. What a wonderful Savior. And now He reigns and rules therein. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He gives me overcoming power. What a wonderful Savior. And triumphs in each trying hour. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord.
Thank you. You may be seated. And we'll take some requests. 92, okay, right there. All right, Love Divine. Let's do the first and last. Love Divine. This was partially the basis for the Christmas musical that we did earlier this year. Sorry, 92.
Love Divine, all love's excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter every trembling heart. Finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation, perfectly restored in thee. Changed from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place. Till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise.
217? All right. Christ the Lord is risen today. Let's do first and last again. 217.
Christ the Lord is risen today, alleluia. Sons of men and angels say, alleluia. rejoice and triumphs high. Alleluia. Sing ye heavens and earth reply. Alleluia. Soar we now where Christ has led. Alleluia. Following our exalted head. Alleluia. Made like him we rise. Alleluia. Ours the cross, the grave, the skies.
Okay. Blessed assurance. Let's do the first and last. 345.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, goodness lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
We have time for one more.
Three fifty-three.
All right. All right. We'll do the first and last. 353.
The Lord's our rock, in him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. O rock divine, O refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Be thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. O Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm.
All right, and if you'll stand, turn to number 56. I'm going to do all the verses day by day, 56.
Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He heart is kind beyond all measure, gives unto each day what he deems best. Loving thee, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day the Lord himself is near me, with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he fain would bear and cheer me, he whose name is Counselor and Power. The protection of his child and treasure is a charge that on himself he laid. As your days, your strength shall be in measure, this the pledge to me he made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust your promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within your holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, there to take as from a father's hand, one by one that taste the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Well, thanks for coming back. This morning we started a sermon, and tonight we'll finish it. Really, it was one sermon. We just kind of cut it in half, but we're talking about spiritual growth, and we want to kind of continue that tonight. But let's pray before we do that. Father, we are so grateful for just your commitment to us, the good work that you have begun in us, and your faithfulness to complete it. What a joy to know that day by day you are at work. You are providing all that we need. You're guiding us and protecting us. And we see the evidence, Lord, of your presence and of your blessing and of your grace at work. And so that comforts and cheers our hearts even in difficult times. Lord, you comfort us. And we just praise you for that and for the assurance that we can have that you're going to finish what you've begun. And so we thank you for that, for the confidence that as we strive to grow, there's the assurance that we really will grow because you are the one at work in us. So we pray for hearts tonight again to receive what instruction you have for us about what we need to do, what our part would be as we seek to grow in Christ, grow to maturity, and pray that we would just have wisdom as we face another year, that we would have the humility, the honesty to evaluate where we're at and what we need to do, and make choices, make commitments that would be honoring to you, that would bring meaningful growth in each of our lives in the year ahead to the glory of your grace and to the glory of Christ. So bless our time as we continue this topic again tonight. We pray your blessing on each one here in Christ's name. Amen. That we may present every man complete in Christ. That's what Paul expressed as the goal of his ministry in Colossians 1:25. He said of this church, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. And then in verse 28, and we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ. And he said, for this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. Paul's passion in his ministry was not simply to carry out the preaching of the word, but to do so for the benefit of others. With all wisdom, he taught, he admonished every man for the purpose of presenting every man complete in Christ. What a goal, what a vision for his ministry, what a vision for our ministry, to present every one of you complete in Christ. You say, what does that mean, complete in Christ? Well, it just means mature, full grown, right? Whole. It means to be fully like Christ. And that really is the goal of our ministry. That is the purpose of all the things that we do in this church, you know. Just as Paul, for that purpose, you know, I labor, ever and always sustained by the strength and the power of God, which is mightily at work in and through us. But that's the goal. Do we understand that? Complete in Christ, to present every one of you, every believer, complete, mature, perfect, whole, like Christ. That's my goal for me. That's my goal for you. I hope it's your goal for you, because that certainly is God's goal for you. So we're talking about spiritual growth, and we want to, at this time of year, consider, okay, this is a new year. What are some things that I need to do to move forward in my spiritual growth, to make progress in my walk with Christ? This is the purpose for which we labor and strive. What are some of the particulars involved in that? So this morning we identified some of the obstacles to that, right? What are the things that hinder growth or stunt our growth? And I gave you a list. Sin, obviously, would do that. Deception, denial about our sin. Pride, negligence, the failure to exert the necessary effort. Being hearers but not doers, not applying, not obeying what we learn. And then just isolation, separating ourselves from other believers, from the body of Christ. All those things hinder growth. Tonight we want to just talk about how to grow. What are the things that we need to do once we've sort of overcome those obstacles? What are the things we need to do to grow? What promotes growth? And where are some areas maybe that we could start, okay, prioritize and focus on? So I'm going to make this really simple and really practical tonight. Two habits and four priorities, okay? Two things that you can do, that each of us can do, that I think will guarantee growth in your life. And then four priorities, four areas that you might want to focus on that will enable you to make huge strides forward in your growth to maturity in Christ. So let's start with the two simple habits. Okay, two habits that every one of us, I think everyone here could cultivate in some way, these two habits. And I think they will cause you to grow in significant measure. And they're really simple things, okay? Nothing profound. But the first one would be find an example and follow. Okay? Find an example and follow. I think of the material we've covered so far in our study of 1 Thessalonians. And you remember one of the things that Paul remarks in his praise of the Thessalonians was what? You became imitators of us. One of the things we note from the spiritual growth of the Thessalonians is that spiritual growth is not a function of time necessarily, because the apostles, their team was only there for a short time, and it was only a short time after they left there that Paul wrote that letter, and already he's praising them for the advances that they've made in their spiritual growth. So we can grow a lot faster than most of us grow. Time is not the issue. Truth, saturation is the issue, right? And so, but one of the things that I think catapulted them was that they imitated Paul and the other believers that they that minister to them. And I think that's a vital component to the spiritual growth in each of our lives. You must imitate someone. You need to follow another believer. You need to find other people that you can mimic, okay, and follow their lead, follow their example. That's what Paul said to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:10, you followed my teaching, my conduct, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my perseverance, my persecutions and sufferings even. You followed me. Now, how many of us can say that? That's been basically the pattern of our Christian life. We have followed someone who's following Christ. That's how you grow. The problem is so many of us want to sort of do it on our own, right? Like we're the first Christian ever that's ever done this, instead of learning from those who have gone before us and following their example. Timothy wasn't trying to strike out on his own and be his own man and make a name for himself. Wasn't trying to think outside the box and do this unique thing. No, he was going to follow Christ, and he followed everything he could about Paul, who followed Christ. In the book of Hebrews, that same emphasis appears. Hebrews 13:7 says, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Right? Imitate them. Or Hebrews 6:11 says, we desire that each of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who, through faith and patience, inherit the promises. We're to be imitators. Imitators. We're to learn from others. And this is the thing. What keeps us from doing that is just pride, right? Just pride. We're unwilling to humble ourselves and admit, you know, that brother, that sister, she really, they're onto something. There's something about them. They're getting it right. I need to learn from them. I think that's a huge key to spiritual growth, and every one of us could do that. Every Christian could do that. So I think that's something that we all need to do. Find someone whose faith or whose conduct or whose love or whose patience or whose purpose or perseverance you admire, and study them. Observe them. Follow them, even if from a distance, even if they don't realize you're doing it, you know. But learn. What is it you want to get better at? Find someone who's better at it and learn from them. You want to be a better dad? Find someone in the body, in the church here, who's a great dad and learn from them. Ask them questions. Observe what they do. Do you want a better prayer life? Find someone who excels at that and learn from them. Soak up everything that they can help you in that. Do you procrastinate? Are you a procrastinator? You want to stop doing that? Find somebody who doesn't do that, you know, and learn from them. Buddy up with someone who has mastered a certain thing that you want to get better at, and follow them, imitate them, you know. I was talking to a young man just this afternoon, you know. I said, look, I said, you know, there's no formal program in our church that matches people up. You know, discipler, disciplee. But that potential is there, right? Any one of us, any young man in our church could go. I told him, I said, I guarantee you there's probably not a single older man in our church that if you went up to him and said, hey, could I buy you lunch? Would say no. You know, so that's how it starts. You have to take the initiative to do that. But we can all do that. But we all learn, you know, more is caught than taught, we say, right? We learn by what we see others doing. When we have an example to follow, it's a lot easier to understand what we ought to be doing. And I think that's a huge element to spiritual growth. And that's discipleship, right? That's the principle. So just finding an example and following their lead. A footnote to that would be, you don't have to limit your role models to people who are alive, right? There's a lot of dead people that we could also learn from. And we need to do that as well. And how do you do that? By reading their books. Sit at their feet and be personally discipled by them by just reading what they've written. Read biographies, read theology books, read the books of heroes of the faith in the past, the Puritans, the Reformers, whoever it is, but learn from them as well. God has given us this vast resource of other saints, both alive and dead, and it's foolish of us to ignore their potential input into our lives. It's foolish. It's arrogant. So if you want to grow, beyond your contemporaries, then you have to read beyond your contemporaries. If you want to be more than the average Christian, you have to read more than the average Christian. So I just encourage you to find an example, maybe just one, but start with one and imitate the things that they do that make them admirable or enviable to you or that make them faithful and fruitful Christians, and be imitators of them. Mimic what they do. Learn from them. Everybody wants to be unique. Everybody wants to be an original. Scripture says over and over again, be a mimic. Be a copycat. And again, that's what discipleship is. It's being a learner, being a follower. And so the question is, who are you following? Who are you learning from, directly or indirectly? Could you name someone? If I said, okay, let's go around, who's discipling you? Name someone. Who could you name? Whether it's somebody you're reading or somebody in this church that's actually directly doing that. But I think each of us need that. I think, if you just reflect on your own personal growth over the years from the time you became a Christian to now, how many of you, I wonder, won't ask you to raise your hands, but I just wonder how many of you would say, the season of most significant growth in my life was when, and you could name the person, was discipling me, right? Each of us can think back to a time when our growth was most pronounced during that time when that person met with me on a regular basis and we talked about spiritual things and I learned from them. Well, think if, we did that all the time. And think if we would be that kind of person to other believers in our church. And that was the culture in our church. If people were being discipled so they could make disciples. And that was the process all the time. That's what needs to happen. So learn from, find somebody to learn from and just, gobble up everything you can from them. Ride their coattails, climb on their shoulders, and go higher. That's the place to start. Some ways to sort of flesh that out. let's say you're wanting to get, better at a certain thing. Or let's say you're wanting to conquer a certain sin in your life, okay? Here's the very practical thing that you can do, baby steps, all right? Number one, identify the area. Identify the one area in your life that you most want to grow. Write it down. This year, I want to grow in this area. Whatever it is, make it the thing that needs the immediate attention, the biggest glaring thing. Write it down and then tell someone else that that's your intention and ask them to pray for you. Then secondly, get your Bible in a concordance or a topical index or whatever and find every passage of Scripture related to that and write those all down. Then read through all those passages. It may take months to do this, but read through all those passages, synthesize the material in brief paragraphs, and then select out of all of that material the most pertinent verses to memorize. I'm telling you, this will help you if you'll do it. Then rehearse those verses. You know, learn them and then review them and keep them in your mind and heart. Then go somewhere to a library or even get online, find other resources specifically related to that, right? Whether it's articles or books or whatever it is, and read everything you can find on that. You know, let's say you know, your marriage is not where you want it to be and you want it to be the best. Well, there's books on that. What have you read? You know, or finances or witnessing, whatever it is you want to get better at or you want to learn more about. The resources are there. We live in a day when the resources are absolutely, you know, off the charts, abundant. And again, we're being foolish if we ignore all of that material. So don't do that. And then try to find someone, another person, again, dead or alive, but find someone who could be an example to you or an encouragement to you in that, and learn what they know and do what they do. That's a very simple thing, isn't it? What keeps us from doing that? Pride. Swallow it and do that for this year. Find an example and follow. The second simple habit, and again, these are just habits. These are things we just have to cultivate the habit of doing this. The second one for significant growth in 2015, get in the Word and drink. Get in the Word and drink. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, which is the key text on that and a key text on spiritual growth in general. 1 Peter chapter 2, actually 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 is where we should start. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls. In other words, since you've been born again, is another way to say that. You've become obedient to the truth. Your hearts have been purified. You love the brethren. Fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the Word which was preached to you. What's he saying there? He's just saying, look, you've been born again. Right? You've been born again. The Word of God that was preached to you is like a seed that was planted, and boom, life resulted. Okay, enduring life, eternal life. And that seed that is now growing, okay, is what we're wanting to cultivate, this spiritual growth. So since that growth has begun, that new birth has happened in you through the Word, through the preaching of the Word, chapter 2, verse 1, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, since you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Notice some things about that, okay? First of all, just like we talked about this morning, there are some things, if we're going to grow, there are some things we have to first put off, right? Put aside obstacles that have to be removed. That's verse one. So another way to say all the things that we said this morning. You have to put aside all malices, and they're all plural nouns. Malices, deceits, hypocrisies, envies, slanders, all forms of that have to go. And this is the prerequisite to verse 2, the practice of, you know, longing for the pure milk of the Word. I have to put off all these sins, these ungodly attitudes that I may have toward other people or whatever. I have to put that aside, renounce all kinds of deceitfulness and hypocrisy, impure motives, selfishness. All these ungodly attitudes have to go. before I can come to the Word and really benefit from it. So that's the starting point. And then, what's the key thing? It's like newborn babies long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow. So how do you grow? By it. By longing for the pure milk of the Word. And in this context, Peter isn't using milk in a derogatory way, like, shame on you, you still need milk. He's just saying that you need the Word, and you need to crave the Word, just like babies crave milk. That's the analogy. And it's a powerful analogy, isn't it? Some of you have vivid memories of it, babies longing for milk, you know? And that's what he's saying. You need to long for the milk, for the Word of God, the same way. The same way that a baby longs for the milk. And how is that? How does a baby long for the milk? Pretty intensely, right? And the longer that milk is withheld, the more intense it becomes, right? It can become violently, violently intense. There can be loud wailing and crying for the milk if it's withheld unduly. That's what he's talking about. Do you have that intensity, that longing, that craving, like a baby, like a newborn baby has for the milk? You know, you think about that. That's really all they care about, isn't it? They just want the milk. I mean, you know, you're a parent, you're a mom, whatever. You care about the color of the room. You care about how comfortable their little bed is. You want the matching wallpapers because that'll raise their IQ. You want them to be listening to Mozart. You want them to, you know, you care about how soft their jammies are and how fresh their bottoms are. They care about one thing. Bring me the milk. And if they could stand up in their beds, they would say it like that. Bring me the milk, right? And Peter's saying that's what you have to have, that appetite, that voracious intensity for the Word of God. You crave it, you long for it, you have to have it, you demand it. I will have the milk today. I will get into the Word today. I will not neglect that. Can you imagine? I mean, how frequently does this child crave the milk? Once a week? When I feel like it? When I have time? A sermon a week is about it? No. They want it. Believe me, they want it a lot more often than you want to give it to them, right? And what happens? The more they get, what? The more they grow. That's how you grow. So, I mean, you know, we overcomplicate it. It's not complicated, is it? How you grow. You grow by it. By the milk. By the Word. Nothing could be more simple. We just have to be honest and realize this is the issue. We don't crave the milk. We can live without it. I can go a day. It's no big deal. I can go a week. That's the problem. We need this sort of a voracious, you know, insatiable appetite for the Word of God. Peter says that's how you grow in respect to salvation. And if you have really tasted the kindness of the Lord, if you've tasted the benefit of that, you want more and more and more and more and more, and it can never be quenched. You're always wanting more. I think if we're honest, we would all admit, you know, that really that's what it comes down to in our lives. That my spiritual growth, your spiritual growth, or the lack thereof, it really does come down to that one simple thing, doesn't it? Time spent in the Word. Do I neglect the Word? Or am I in the Word? And I mean, it's a directly proportional, isn't it? My growth to the quantity and quality of time spent drinking the milk. That's not Is there anyone here who can't do that? Spend time in the Word? Then we can all grow, right? Because that's how you grow. And of all the things, this is the key thing, I think. And it's sad to me because it's often the missing thing in most Christians. It's the thing we neglect. It's the one thing we could all do, and it's the thing we neglect. If you really want to know Christ, if you really want to grow in Him, then you must spend time in the Word, reading it, studying it, meditating on it, memorizing it. But just being in the Word, letting it bathe you, letting it wash you, letting it renew your mind, you know? Just filling your heart and mind with God's thoughts, that which is good and true, and flushing out all the other stuff that seems to take over when we neglect the Word. So, I mean, I don't want to be legalistic about it, but you know, you got to make a plan to do that. You got to get that into your routine, into your schedule, into your habits daily, preferably, of spending time in the Word of God, carving out time, whenever it is. You know, I've known guys that have said, you know, they've made commitments like Bible before breakfast. I won't eat breakfast until I've, you know, had time in the Word, or Scripture before sleep. I won't go to sleep if I haven't taken time that day to. And I don't want to be legalistic about it, but those are the kind of commitments that maybe some of us need to make to be faithful to that. But spiritual growth really comes down to that. You have to get into the Word and drink. Take it in. And take in every ounce of nourishment that you can. And I'm telling you, you will grow if you do that. And I'm telling you, you won't grow if you don't. It really is that important. It's that simple. Now, those are two things. Okay, that's all. I don't want to overwhelm you. But those are two things that would really help you grow. If you would do that. If you would do either one of them, they would help you. So I just encourage you to think about maybe doing that. Very practical things. And I think you would see significant growth if you would cultivate those habits. Now, having said that, okay, that's the things to do. Let me shift gears a little bit and just focus on some, do a little meddling here, okay, and just tell you that there's some areas, there's probably some areas, common ground areas that if we were going to start growing, if we were going to say, okay, I want to grow in 2015, where should I start? What should I work on first? I want to list four things, and if I'm off base, fine, humor me, okay? If it doesn't apply to you, good. But these are areas I think that most of us probably need to make a priority, most of us. And if we would prioritize and focus on these four things, it would probably cause tremendous growth overall in our whole life. That's how important these four things are. So the four priorities, I would encourage you, if you don't know where to start, you want to grow in 2015, but you don't know where to start, let me suggest, all right, these four. And you can remember them with the acrostic PAST, P-A-S-T. I want to put my neglect and failure in these areas in the past. So what are they? Well, priority number one, purity. Purity. I think that's an area that most Christians struggle with. Most Christians need to focus on purity. Right? Stephen Arterburn said it's every man's battle. And then somebody else came along and said it's every woman's battle too. But whatever, it's every believer's responsibility, isn't it? 1 Peter 1:15, be holy in all your behavior because it is written, you shall be holy for I am holy. And And Paul in Ephesians 5:3 says, "Do not let immorality or any impurity or greed be named among you as is proper among saints." 1 Thessalonians 4:3, "This is the will of God, your sanctification, that is, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel, his own body, in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passions like the Gentiles who do not know God." Simply stated, look, you don't need to be discussing the 5 points of Calvinism with your buddies if you struggle with pornography. You need to be focusing on that. You've got to lick that. You've got to get through that. You've got to work on that. That's priority. And so many of us, so many guys especially, are not winning the battle for purity. And what that does is it causes us to shut down. We just stop. Talk about stuck. We're stuck at that. And we don't make progress because we're just so laden with guilt and defeat that we just quit everything else. We feel so bad about where we're at. And so that has to be a priority. We have to work on that and get serious about purity, about personal holiness, about disciplining ourselves for godliness. And again, it's the same approach is finding all the scriptures that relate to that, man, and just start saturating your mind, memorizing them. Create an accountability partnership if that's helpful, but do the things you know you need to do to get control of your thoughts and your actions. But I mean, you know, some of us need to say, you know, 2015 is going to be the year that I stop being enslaved to my lust. You know, this needs to stop. The second one, anger. Some of us struggle with anger. Maybe a lot of us. I don't know. It's weird how anger becomes an issue as we get older, you know, because everybody out there is just a bunch of idiots, right? They're just, I mean, that's why we get angry. It's those people. But then, you know, we just find ourselves irritable and bitter and resentful and angry all the time. And you know, there's no excuse for that. I mean, it's just pride, isn't it? It's just pride. I mean, anger really is an expression of pride. The reason I'm angry is because those people are in my way. Right? The reason I'm angry is because, you know, they're not doing what I want them to be doing. It's all about me. I'm the center of my world, and all these other people have failed me. They aren't living up to my expectations. They aren't meeting my demands, my expectations. Or the other reason that we get angry, especially I think men, is we get to a certain point in life and we look around and we go, you know what? This isn't where I thought I would be at this point in my life. And who are we mad at now? We're mad at God because this is my lot in life. And whose fault is that? His. And we're just angry and discontent, dissatisfied, disgruntled. That's just pride. That's all. You do not deserve better. You do not deserve better. You have better than you deserve. And we need to be reminded of that. And anger is a function of that. It's just feeling like I've been, you know, given the short end of the stick. God hasn't been kind to me. God has deprived me of something. No. You're just being arrogant. You're just being foolish. You need to stop and count your blessings and realize how gracious God has been to you and how bountiful He is with you and how rich you are in Christ and all that. You just need to rehearse all of that daily and realize that your anger is just an expression of your selfish discontent, arrogance. But anger is an issue, I think, for a lot of people, and we've got to deal with that. That maybe needs to be the priority that you work on this year. The third thing would be stewardship. This is, I think, an area where a lot of people struggle. It's just stewardship of their time, stewardship of their money. There's so many Christians, you know, that are enslaved to debt that it's just like a ball and chain, and they can't do anything else but live with the constant frustration of being in bondage to their debt, financial choices that they've made that have enslaved them now, and they're just consumed by it. Their whole life is consumed with just trying to get out from under this thing. So that's something you have to, you know, like Dave Ramsey said, you have to live like no one else so you can live like no one else. You got to make some hard choices and commit yourself to eliminate that debt load so that you can get on with the things in your life that the Lord wants you to do. But those two areas, budgeting your time, budgeting your money, being a better steward of your time, being a better steward of your money, those are huge issues. And those can be, I mean, man, those can totally talk about obstacles, talk about hindrances to growth. Those can do it. And then the fourth one would be, I think, the tongue. Just working on controlling our tongue. James 1:26, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. And most of us, you know, we are religious. We are almost perfect, except can't control my tongue. And James 3:2 says we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's the perfect man. Yeah, if you're able to bridle your tongue, then the rest of your body, it's easy, right? So that may be an area that you need to prioritize. Maybe all of us. But I think probably all of us could grow in those four areas, right? Purity, anger, stewardship, tongue. Whatever specific area, I know you can discern that on your own. I'm just giving you some ideas, right? Catalyst. But I just want to encourage us, you know, let's all commit to making this a year of growth. Don't settle. Don't stay stuck. If you're stuck, you know, if you've just settled into a rut, determine to get out of that and make progress, even if it's only in one area. For most of us, that's probably all we need to focus on, just one area. I am going to grow in this area and not let this year race by and I get to the end of it and say, oh, I'm still dealing with that. I'm still struggling with that. 2 Peter 3:18, we're exhorted to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's my prayer for each of you, that there would be progress, parallel progress, both in your knowledge of Christ and in your conformity to Christ. I think that's what he means, that you would both know him more, that's growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and then be more like him, which would be growing in the grace of our Lord Jesus. That's my goal. That's my prayer for you. When Pablo Casals reached 95, a young reporter asked him this question: "Mr. Casals, you're 95 and you're the greatest cellist that ever lived. Why do you still practice 6 hours a day?" And he answered, "Because I think I'm making progress." And that's what we need to do. Make progress. That's all we're saying. Make progress every day toward maturity in Christ. Father, help us with that. We depend on you to do that. We know we can't do it in our own strength. I'm not suggesting that. We depend on you. So I pray that you would give us the wisdom, the motivation, Lord, to just take time, at least to sit down and think through these things and make the priorities, make the commitments that we need to. We want to grow. We want to be more useful. We want to be more fruitful. We want to be more like Christ. We want to know Him more fully. So I pray that we would get beyond just saying that and actually do something about it. Do the things we need to do to make that happen. Give us the grace to do that. And we will thank you and praise you in advance for the growth that you're going to cause in each of us as we surrender to your Spirit and as we saturate our hearts and minds with your Word. Thank you for the growth that's going to come. May we be patient when it doesn't come as quickly as we'd like. But may we press on. May we strive and move forward and keep going and make progress. And may there be sufficient progress to keep us encouraged and to keep us going forward. Thank you for the commitment of these, your people, to grow in Christ. I pray that this would be a year of significant growth for each one. We pray it in His name and for His glory alone. Amen.